Paul's letter to the Colossians. We'll be looking this morning at chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. But as we begin this morning, I'll read chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's once again bow before God in prayer before we open up His Word. Our Lord, God, and Savior, we thank You for Your truth. And Lord, as we now begin to open up and explain Your Word, we pray that You would open up our eyes and our ears and our hearts to give us understanding. And through Your truth, may You mold us more and more to the image of Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, may You be with my mind and my mouth, and may I speak clearly Your truth. And in Jesus' holy name we ask this. Amen. Have you ever just watched an ant work? You're sitting outside in a beautiful summer day, and you look in the ground, and you either see an anthill or hopefully not a line of ants marching into your home, but it happens more often than not. But you see them busily at work, and the anthill ants going in and out constantly. And so hard is the ants' work, or they work to such an extent that Solomon uses them as a proverb. In Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8, Paul admonishing those who are lazy says, Solomon admonishing those who are lazy says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." And when you watch an ant work, you see this played out. And if you ever try to stop an ant from doing what it's set out to do, it's nearly impossible. You could set anything in front of them and they would crawl over it, or they would crawl around it. And the only way to deter an ant from accomplishing its task of going out and getting supplies for the colony is to destroy it. It's the only way you can stop an ant from doing what it's set out to do. So why talk about ants? Well, I believe this is a picture that we have in the ant of the devotion that we are to have, and Paul is speaking about here. The ant in its being, its tiny rudimentary brain, its tiny rudimentary heart, is completely set upon and seeking after provisions for its colony. It is wholeheartedly devoted to this task. And the only way to stop it is to crush it. You could set anything in front of it, and it would either go somewhere else and find resources elsewhere, or just crawl right over it. And this is the devotion that we are to have, and that Paul admonishes the Colossians to have, and we along with them, in prayer. We are to be devoted to prayer. We are to have our minds and our hearts so focused on prayer that we're to be like the ant who is devoted to its gathering of supplies for the colony. That no matter what our wicked nature, no matter what Satan himself puts in our path, we will crawl over, we'll crawl around it. To have the devotion that the only way to keep us from praying to our God would be for Satan to completely destroy us. This is the devotion that we saw in Daniel. In the passage of Daniel that we read. In facing certain death and being thrown into the lion's den, his response was to continue to pray. And this is the devotion that we are to have in our own lives as we pray to God. And so Paul's admonition to us this morning is simply this: to be devoted to prayer for the advancement of your own soul and Christ's kingdom. Again, is to be devoted to prayer for the advancement of your own soul and Christ's kingdom. Now, as we begin to look at this text, in chapter 4, verse 2, Paul begins by writing, "Devote yourselves to prayer." Devote yourselves to prayer. This phrase, "devoted to," can also be translated as "pay persistent attention to." This idea of persisting after prayer. No matter the opposition, we are to pay persistent attention to this gift that God has given to us. Paul exemplifies this devotion to prayer at the beginning of this letter. In Colossians 1, verse 9, he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Paul was devoted to praying for the Colossians. Since he had heard of them, he and his companions had not stopped praying for them. We see this also in the Psalms, in Psalm 55, verses 16 through 17. There the psalmist writes, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice." Evening, morning, and noon, the psalmist cries out to God. A similar picture that we have of Daniel praying three times a day. Not that you pray three times a day, that's all you, I mean, you're done, you fulfilled your quota. It's a figure of speech showing all parts of the day, evening, morning, and noon. Throughout the day, the psalmist is praying to God, crying out for help. It was a continual thing that the psalmist was doing, and he was wholeheartedly devoted to it. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 23, Samuel, in addressing the Israelite nation, says that he considers it sinning against the Lord if he should fail to pray for them. We are to have this devotion to prayer that God instructs us through His Word. Do you and I consider it sinning against the Lord if we fail to pray? That we fail to pray for God's people? And if we fail to go before the throne of grace lifting up our brothers and sisters, do we consider it sinning against the Lord if we fail to do this? By example of this type of devotion or paying persistent attention to, before Ezra began eating solid foods and other people could feed him, the only person that could feed him was Elisha. When he was very hungry, there was nothing you could do to keep him away from mom. If he was incredibly hungry, he would whine and he would fuss until he was in mother's arms, being fed by her and comforted by her. There was nothing you could do to deter him from this. He was devoted to satisfying his hunger. And no matter how much he may love me or his grandparents or aunts and uncles or any of you, he knows that the only one who can satisfy his hunger is Elisha. And so too, we are to have this type of devotion to prayer. We are to be devoted to it, pay persistent attention to it. Just like Ezra was paying persistent attention to his hunger and seeking after, no matter what obstacle was in front of him, his mother. So we too, we are to pay persistent attention to prayer and seeking our Heavenly Father who is in heaven. Seeking Him, coming before Him. And this is a great gift that we have. You know, as we read in Exodus, as God descended onto Mount Sinai, the people of God were terrified. They cried out to Moses, "Moses, you go talk to God. And we will listen to you, but if God talks to us, we will surely die." the great freedom that we have in Christ to be able to come to God directly. That we are not struck dead is a great gift and freedom. And we are to be devoted to this gift. We are to pay persistent attention to it, striving after it. Also in these verses, Paul gives us two very specific things that we are to pray for. First, in verse 2, we are to pray for the advancement of our own souls with thanksgiving. Now, that may not be as obvious as we look how the NIV translates verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This is literally said in this verse, is devote yourselves to prayer, keeping watch in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is how we keep watch. One of the ways we keep watch over our own soul. The Lord has given us by grace His Word that we are to read, which instructs us and teaches us. But He has also given us prayer. And how many of us really think of prayer in this way, as a way of watching over our own souls? A way of watching over our own life in Christ. And this idea of keeping watch and prayer is something that our Lord and Savior taught in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, after He comes and He finds His disciples asleep, that He asked to pray for Him, He says to them, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And He says these exact same words as is recorded for us in Mark chapter 14, verse 38. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." We are to watch and pray. We are to watch and pray as we pray to God. As we do pray to God, we watch. I was reminded yesterday especially, really over the past few weeks, as Alicia and I have been doing a little bit more gardening, mainly Alicia, but when I can, I help. And yesterday at the work day, here at the church, we did a lot of weeding. There were many weeds around this property that hopefully you noticed out front, they're no longer there. But as I was taking the garbage out this week, walking past a little plot of ground that is has a rose bush and some other flowers in it, I looked down and noticed that there's a whole lot more green there that wasn't there just, it seemed, a week before. And it wasn't a green that we wanted. There were weeds. And I was blown away at how quickly they grew up and how quickly they spread. I mean, before you noticed it, they were throughout this little plot. This is a very good illustration of sin in our life. Sin, if it's not washed over carefully, will creep in, then before you know it, it'll sprout up and just take over. You have to be on constant watch. You have to be on constant alert. There is no rest in our battle with sin. Our rest in our battle with sin comes in the consummation of the ages when Christ returns and sin is completely removed. Until then, we must be in a constant battle with sin. It is daily. And like that little garden plot, and I'm beginning to realize that as long as we're in the manse, we'll have to do this of daily going by and watching and pulling out any little weed that tries to pop its head. And like a weed, you want to pull it out while its roots are very shallow, before it has a chance to really grow and develop and dig its roots down to where it's much harder to pull out. We have to exert much more energy in digging in and digging out all the roots to make sure you get everything. So too is sin. If you see sin cropping up, get rid of it. Don't let it just grow and flourish and its roots grow deep and penetrate deep within your soul. And how does Christ tell us we are to watch? But we are to watch through prayer. We are to pray to our Father. Do we pray to Him? Do you and I pray to God? That portion of the Lord's Prayer, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is something that Christ, in His example of prayer, gave us to pray about. How often do you and I actually pray to God that He would not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil? That He would watch over our own souls, because the heart of man is very deceitful. We deceive ourselves very easily. It is only by God's strength and His Spirit that we can watch over our souls and defeat sin. And so we are to pray for this. We are to be devoted to praying for this. This is should be a daily prayer in our lives to defeat sin that we are struggling with or that we may see cropping up. But Paul says that we are to keep watch in prayer with thanksgiving. Paul, in these last few verses, in these last few sections, has been emphasizing this idea of thanksgiving, being thankful to God. As we mentioned last week, starting in verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful." You're to admonish and sing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And here, we are to pray, be devoted to prayer, keeping watch in it, with thanksgiving. What do you, as those who have bowed your knee to Christ, have to be thankful for? What do you have to be thankful for? You who were once enemies of the living God. You who were once counted as children of wrath. What do you have to be thankful for? Even if you face insurmountable odds in this life, even if you face trial after trial, the fact that you are a child of God and you have secured for you your hope and your eternal salvation, you can be thankful. Because the greatest need in your life has been met. But only this, but think of the gifts that you have been given. As I mentioned before already, the gift of prayer. How often do you and I think of prayer in this way, as a gift? I mean, how often do we stop and we think about what we are doing in prayer? We are literally like ants before God. Of course, we're not as hardworking. But we are literally as bugs before Him. The way that you step on a bug or squash a spider, God could easily squash and step on you. In fact, He doesn't even have to move a muscle. He could just let every molecule in your body just disintegrate into absolutely nothing. He holds you together. And yet, He has given us this gift of prayer. How many of us would bow and listen to an ant that is trying to speak to us? But God bows and listens to us. And only does He do this, but He desires it. I mean, this blows my mind away more than anything. The God of heaven, creator of heaven and earth, desires to communicate with His people. Desires to communicate with His children. This is the precious gift that we have been given in prayer. That we can actually stand before the throne of God and not be destroyed, not be wiped out. It is a beautiful gift. It is something that you and I can only speak for myself, but I do not take advantage of prayer as I should. I do not pray as I should. And you and I must keep this gift in mind and pray with thanksgiving. For the God of heaven has His ear bent towards you. And you are not a bug in His eyes. You are His child. You are like a bug, but He has called you His child. And what a beautiful truth this is, children of God. And we must be devoted to speaking with our Father, to approaching Him through the shed blood of Christ with thankfulness in our hearts, watching over our own souls, praying to Him for protection, for guidance. In the psalm we sang, Psalm 35, Selection A, that I mentioned, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Christ, He is the one who drives away our enemies, the psalmist seeking and praying that God would drive away his enemies. This is what Paul is talking about here, of keeping watch and prayer, praying that the Lord would drive away our enemy, our chief enemy, our own wicked nature, and Satan himself, to drive him away from tempting us. So we are to pray for the advancement of our own souls with thanksgiving, keeping watch and prayer, with thankfulness in our hearts to God for what He has done for us and what He has promised to do for us. But we are also to pray, Paul says in verse 3, he says, and pray for us. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. These two verses, verses 3 to 4, are all encompassed in that single request that Paul gives at the beginning of 3. And pray for us. And pray for us. How often do you pray for not only myself, but your elders? And not only us as your leaders, but this whole community. How often do we pray for one another, and especially for, and I really do covet your prayers in this respect, that God would open up doors for ministry in this community. Only God is the one that can break down barriers and open up doors. If His Spirit is not working, all that we do, we could strive with all of our heart, but if His Spirit is not at work, we won't see any fruit. So we must pray that God would open up doors. How often do you and I pray that God would open up doors for this church? That He would open up doors for ministry in this community and in this city. And only this, but that He would give us the strength and the boldness to go forth with these opportunities. This is something that we are to pray for, the advancement of God's kingdom. The advancement of God's kingdom. Not only in the Ravenna neighborhood here, but in Seattle as a whole, and in this state, and in this country, and throughout the world. That God would give His people doors of opportunity to proclaim His gospel. And Paul prays specifically that God would open up doors for their message. They would proclaim the mystery of Christ. And back in Colossians 1, verse 27, Paul says that this mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is the mystery that was hidden for all ages, but has been revealed when Christ shed His blood on the cross. Finally, God revealed how He was going to unite a sinful, fallible humanity, His people, with Himself, a holy God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, we are to pray, brothers and sisters, that we would have doors of opportunity opened for us, that God would open up doors for us to proclaim this mystery of Christ, to proclaim Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope that you have laid up for you in heaven with Christ, seeking the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And look at Paul's circumstances here. He says that we will proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. And Paul is in prison when he writes this letter. And what comes to my mind if I think about being in prison, the first thought in my mind, honestly, would not be, how can I proclaim God's word despite these chains? I'd probably wallow in, why am I behind bars? Well, look how the Holy Spirit is at work within Paul. Through the Holy Spirit, Paul has been given the grace that even while he was in prison, he was looking for opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Despite whatever circumstances God may bring into our life, whatever trials, we are to be looking for opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Looking for opportunities how we can advance His kingdom. And this not in any strength of our own, for Paul does not have this attitude of himself. It is not his own strength, but it was the Spirit at work within him. We are to pray for this, that God would give us the strength, no matter the circumstances, to take the opportunities He gives us, the open doors, to proclaim the mystery of Christ. For we cannot do it on our own strength. It is the strength of the Holy Spirit at work within each and every one of us. And this next aspect of Paul's request is something I covet from each and every one of you. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Or pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as it is my duty. Now, as children of God, we are all called in some way or another to proclaim His truth. But He has specifically set aside men to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Not in any goodness or special gifts in us and of ourselves, but by His grace. And I covet this prayer from each and every one of you, that God would enable me to proclaim His truth with clarity, as I have been called to do, as it is my duty, that I may have the boldness to do such. But this is not a prayer that is only for preachers and pastors. This is a prayer for God's people, because as I said, we all share this calling to be witnesses for Christ. And God will give us opportunities to proclaim His word. So not only pray this for me, but I covet also for you to pray it for yourself and for one another, that God would give us the clarity, that God would give us the ability to speak His message with clarity, as He has called us to do. So, my brothers and sisters, we need to examine ourselves. And as Solomon said in Proverbs, go to the ant. Do you and I have this devotion that we see in the ant to what God has called us to do? That no matter what obstacle is placed in our path, that the only way to keep us from praying is for Satan to completely destroy us and wipe us off the face of the earth. Do we have this devotion? Do we have this paying persistent attention to prayer? This is what we are called to as God's children to be, to have this devotion to prayer, to have this desire, overwhelming desire to speak and to pray to our Father. And we are to pray for our own well-being, being watchful over our own souls and combating sin. And we're also to pray for the advancement of God's kingdom here on earth. That He would open up doors, that He'd give His people the ability to speak His message clearly. That His gospel would advance, and His kingdom would grow and expand, bringing nations and subduing them under His feet. These are the requests that we are to have. And we are to be devoted to this prayer, wholeheartedly devoted. And so, brothers and sisters, be devoted to prayer for the advancement of your own souls and for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, what a gift prayer is. And Lord, we do ask Your forgiveness for not praying, being devoted to prayer as we should, for not thinking of prayer as a gift that it is, the ability to speak to the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And Lord, we do thank you for this gift, and we thank you and praise you for the freedom that we have in Christ to come before you without fear of being destroyed or put to death. But Lord, we can approach you freely. For Christ has paid the penalty. He has satisfied your anger against our sin. And we thank you, Lord, for this precious gift. And we pray, Father, that you would be with us now in the remainder of this day. And be with us throughout this week as we go our separate ways, and bring us back once again as your people. And in Jesus' holy name we ask these things. Amen.